Yan Zishan from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia at en.wikipedia.org. Yan Zishan was a Chinese warlord who served in the government of the Republic of China. Yan received his formal military training first in China and later at the Imperial Japanese Army Academy. In Japan, he became a member of the Sun Yat-sen's Revolutionary Alliance, also known as the Donminghui, and following the 1911 Xinhai Revolution, he seized power in the province of Shanxi. Though a member of the Beiyang Army and affiliated with Duan Tirui, he avoided the violent natural politics of the time by enforcing a neutrality policy on Shanxi, which freed his province from the civil wars. Taiyuan, the site of the one arsenal in China that could manufacture field artillery, also helped to secure his neutrality and his hold on the province. This ended when he joined the Kuomintang Northern Expedition, as it became clear it would be victorious. Although Yan became known as the model governor for his enlightened policies, he was nonetheless a military dictator. In 1926, he pledged his loyalty to Chiang Kai-shek's new government, but in 1929, he joined Feng Yuxiang and Wang Jingwei in their attempt to overthrow the Chiang administration. During the Central Plains War, Yan joined Feng Yuxiang to fight Chiang Kai-shek, but both were defeated when Deng Xieling decided to join Chiang. It was reported by Chiang's frontline troops that Yan's troops were addicted to opium, and during the decisive battle that determined the outcome of the Central Plains War in the rainy days, the drugs of Yan's troops were wet, and since most of Yan's troops took the drug via smoking, the soaked drugs made it impossible to do so. Thus, Yan's troops lost their stimulants and were soundly defeated. Yan was forced to flee Shanxi to Dalian after his defeat, but after a brief retirement in the early 1930s, Yan returned to power in Shanxi and undertook social and military reforms to counteract the spread of communism in the province. Ironically, Yan's success to check the spread of communism was largely due to his adoption of many policies advocated by the communists, which targeted the problems of the nationalist regime. Under the agreement reached between Yan Zishan and the Shanxi communist leader Bo Yinbo, who had the approval of Mao Zedong, Yan authorized communists in Shanxi to implement many reforms for his regime. As Yan implemented the reforms under his reign, the popular resentment against his regime decreased, but this did not mean that Yan's relationship with Chiang Kai-shek had been improved as a result. And in fact, Yan supported Zhang Xueliang's seizure of Chiang Kai-shek in the 1936 Xi'an incident. During the Second Sino-Japanese War, most regions of Shanxi were overrun by the Japanese, but Yan refused to flee the province, and after losing the provincial capital of Taiyuan, he relocated his headquarters in a remote corner of the province, and then effectively resisted Japanese attempts to completely seize Shanxi. During the Second Sino-Japanese War, the Japanese made no less than 5 attempts to negotiate peace terms with Yan and hoped that Yan would become a second Wang Jingwei, but Yan refused and stayed on the Chinese side. After the Second World War, his troops, including tens of thousands of former Japanese troops, held out against the communists during the Chinese Civil War and attempted to rid Shanxi of communists by launching one of the first post-World War II nationalist campaigns against the communists with Chiang Kai-shek's authorization. Much to the dismay of the Kuomintang, Yan Zishan and his fellow commanders proved to be absolutely no match for his communist enemy, Liu Bocheng and Deng Xiaoping, losing 13 divisions of his best troops, even though they had absolute numerical and technical superiority, totaled more than 35,000 in less than a month during the Shandong campaign. Yan's failure to strengthen Mao's position in the peace negotiation in Chongqing helped the communists to achieve better terms for themselves while winning the sympathy from the general populace. One of the main reasons for Yan's failure was the loss of popular support, because Yan Zishan viewed many of the reforms the communists helped him to implement during the Second Japanese War only as emergency measures to survive the Japanese pressure, And as Yan attempted to abolish these reforms that had won him great popular support, such as the tax and rent reduction for tenant peasants and other small business owners, Yan's regime in the post-war era lost the support it once enjoyed during the war, and thus driven the general populace to the communist side. Despite all these debacles, however, Yan Zishan refused Chiang Kai-shek's help after his defeat, fearing that Chiang would take the opportunity to take over his turf. As a result, in the following campaigns against his communist enemy, Yan and his commanders once again proved to be absolutely no match for his fellow Shanxi colleague Xu Xiangtian, who was on the communist side. During the campaigns in central Shanxi, Yan Zishan managed to have his best 100,000 elite troops with absolute numerical and technical superiority to be completely wiped out by Xu Xiangtian's mere 60,000 strong force in less than 6 weeks. Unwilling to concede defeat, Yan Zishan immediately sent another 250,000 crack troops of his own against Xu Xiangtian's 60,000 strong force, hoping to defeat communists by not letting them to have the opportunity to regroup and recover from the previous battles, only to have another 200,000 of the 250,000 to be killed by Xu Xiangtian's communist force in less than 17 months that followed. Yan's loss of his best 300,000 troops within 18 months was a serious blow that Yan could never recover from, and it marked the beginning of the end of Yan as well as the Kuomintang's regime in Shanxi. Although it was Yan who refused Chiang's help out of fear of losing his turf, Yan nonetheless blamed Chiang for his failure after this defeat and supported Chiang's rival Li Zhongren. Although Yan's force was nearly wiped out by the numerically and technologically inferior communist force led by his Shanxi colleague Xu Xiangtian, Yan did succeed in buying valuable time to strengthen the defense of the provincial capital Taiyuan because the communist force needed the time to recover, regroup, and prepare for the final assault of the provincial capital. Yan was so confident in the defense of the city that he promised that he would die in the city. However, when the inevitable final assault on the provincial capital began, Yan and his counterparts again proved that they were absolutely no match for Xu Xiangtian. Yan's force of more than 130,000 with numerical and technical superiority not only failed to defend the city against the numerically and technically inferior 100,000 strong communist force led by Xu Xiangtian, but was also devastated by the communist forces in the desperate and hopeless battle. Just shortly before the fortress city of Taiyuan fell in April 1949, Yan betrayed his own promise of dying with the city and fled with the provincial treasury to Guangdong. After reaching Guangdong, he soon fled to Taiwan along with the rest of the Republic of China government on 8th of December 1949. From the 3rd of June 1949 to the 7th of March 1950, he served as Premier of the Republic of China, first briefly in Guangdong and then in Taiwan. He died in Taipei, Taiwan. After the communists took over, Yan, like most nationalist generals who did not switch their sides, were demonized in the communist propaganda. It was not until after 1979, when the reform started in China, that Yan was viewed more positively and thus more realistically, and the contributions by Yan during his reign are beginning to be recognized by the current Chinese government. One of these achievements, namely Yan's success in containing one of the epidemics in Shanxi, are quoted recently by various Chinese governmental organizations as an example to follow to contain the bird flu and SARS epidemics in China, and his criticism of the incompetence of Chinese governmental officials in such epidemics. This sound file and all text in the article are licensed under the GNU Free Documentation License, available at www.gnu.org/copyleft/fdl.html.